Hello, and welcome to the Blog You Want and the Time You Have podcast, the show that empowers you to stop making excuses to not blog and realize the potential of content marketing. I'm your host, Scott Winteroth, co-founder of ContentAcademy.com. I invite you to join me each episode for actionable strategies for elevating your blog to the next level and hear from other content rock stars who will share with you exactly what keeps them on task so you can stop wishing for success and start living to your fullest potential. Ready? 3, 2, 1, publish. Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of The Blog You Want and the Time You Have. I'm here for another fantastic interview ahead of us with a gentleman named Chuck Letty. And I met Chuck through another podcaster that we interviewed, Anna. And basically, Chuck is a brand storyteller and content marketer. And I wanted to get Chuck on the show because I think he has a really interesting and fantastic sort of journey into content marketing and kind of like to share his story on how he sells storytelling. So Chuck, welcome to the Blog You Want and the Time You Have podcast. And give us a little background on yourself.
Well, first of all, Scott, thanks for inviting me. We have a mutual friend in Anna. She's actually very involved in the local Boston chapter of the Freelancers Union. And I've met Don at several events. She's a wonderful person. So it speaks well of you that you know her, and I'm glad she introduced me to you.
Likewise,
I come into content marketing with a journalism background. So my background is from the mid-90s, the mid to late 1990s, writing magazine articles and doing newspaper stories covering kind of the living arts beats for the local paper here in Boston and other papers. Writing about books, about theater, about music, also interviewing authors, nonfiction authors, people like that, writing stories as a journalist. Obviously, that business had some trouble lately. They lost a lot of circulation. They lost a lot of advertising revenue. And in 2013, I got called by a content marketing agency and didn't even know what content marketing was. And they offered me this possibility to write content. And I started doing it using the same skills I was using as a journalist and found that I was very capable as a content marketer. That was in maybe 2013, and I've been doing it since then.
Got it.
So that's kind of a short version.
Yeah, I mean, skills. I mean, kind of like as a professional journalist, and this is something that I'm interested to hear what you have to say. But ultimately, you know, what are some of the skills that you think mirror blogging today to professional journalism?
Absolutely. So, I mean, there's several. First is like packaging material, having the ability to access and research data that's relevant for your story, and then understanding what's meaningful. What pieces of that data, what part of that data should go into the story, and what part should kind of go into the garbage, the trash bin, as it were. So organizing data into a story, having a theme or a meaning to shape the story, and then organizing and structuring the story. Obviously, you need to be good with words. You need to tell a good story. The words shouldn't be kind of too beautiful or too elegant, because the job is really to drive the story forward. Sometimes people get hung up on the language, that it needs to be beautiful. It should be beautiful. That's great. But the first job is to tell the story and keep the reader engaged through the narrative that you're building. So journalists are good at asking questions, at accessing experts, getting them on the phone, talking to them, taking notes, organizing data, finding material, researching, et cetera, and shaping stories. I think that's what the journalists bring to content.
Excellent. Yeah, that's it's good to think about it that way. It's just sometimes you forget everything that goes into creating content. That was a really great way of explaining it. Thank you. Obviously magazine articles for the most part usually were really long, you know, that ultimately most magazine articles were probably upwards of at least 2,000 words, I would assume. Do you have any particular process that you can think of during those days that you would use to sort of shape that long of an article to get something into a magazine? You know, because I'm asking that today because obviously blogging has sort of become, you know, more long form, if you will.
Yeah.
Or at least it's what people talk about. So, you know, just kind of like
I have
process to, of, yeah, go ahead.
That is a great question, Scott. It really is, and it's something that the writer learns. You may start with shorter content and then learn how to shape that content. What I like to do with longer content is throw myself into the research, and as I'm researching, I'm filling in the structure of the story, and that's helping me shape the story. And the longer the story, obviously, I can include more of the research, and the research phase will be longer because you have to collect and sift through so much research data and material and interviews and all of the things that you collect. So it's a challenge to learn how to shape something larger, but it's not so different from shaping something smaller. Usually with something longer, I will actually use pen and paper and make an outline. And it helps me use that outline as I'm going through my research. And then obviously I'm adjusting that outline as I'm finding material that I like. And, you know, the research itself is driving a lot of the structure and going into the outline. So I find like being more formal about the structure, using pen and paper, sketching it out beforehand, and then like having more intention about the structure, paying more attention to the structure as you go along in a longer piece. Because with an 800-word blog post, sometimes if you have a strong enough voice, you just go ahead and type and it comes out well, and there's a structure that maybe is organic to that 800-word blog post. Where something 3,000 words, you need to sit down and think about the structure before and then fill it in. So it's a good question. It's a tough thing, but I think you just learn it.
Got it. I mean, because I think that and makes perfect sense to me. I think obviously your first posts, I think, or your first articles are always usually short, and then as you go, you start to. I always like to say that the content in blogging is like a muscle; it has to be worked.
Exactly.
You have to kind of exercise.
And you can think. Mm-hmm. You can think in terms of modularity. So you can think if I have a 3,200 word white paper, well, that's four blog posts. So you might just organize it and then do each one as a singular blog post and then connect those two transitions to each of those four blog posts. And then you have a white paper. So you can play around with the structure and think about it in different ways. You can be modular about it. Sometimes I'll do that.
Got it. Chunk it out. Yeah, I love it. Love the concept.
Yeah.
Great point. So I have like one more question about this whole magazine feature article thing, and then I promise we'll get back to blogging here. But I think it closely relates. I mean, what in any given time, I realize that there's lots of variables that go into this. But I mean, if you're writing a magazine feature story, I mean, how long would it usually take to write something like that? You know, on complete guest average. I mean, I realize the case by case scenario, but you know,
I mean, a lot depends on getting access. If there's interviews as part of the piece, if you have to talk to experts or sources, much will depend on when they are available to get on the phone with you. So it could depend upon the schedule of the interviewees that you need to arrange. If it's something more research based, where you can find that material largely online and then talk to one or two people, that could be a week or 10 days to get that done at 2,000 words. Mm-hmm. The longer it takes, the longer the number of words, you know, it works like that. If you have collaborators, if people, you know, if the editor, it depends on the editor as well, how much input the editor wants. If there's a review process that's kind of complex, that will take longer. But then you're depending on the editor and waiting for feedback from that editor, who may or may not be kind of a quick responder, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So there's a lot of contingencies and dependencies in that question. But for me, it's a week or two, usually, if I can get the interviewee on board within a day or two, you know, arrange the time of the interview.
Got it. I mean, because I think there's a lot of people who feel like you have to pump out like a 2,000-word blog post, like, every day, and that's not probably a good idea ever.
Yeah. I agree. You want to think a little more than that, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also the drafting, you have to do the drafting, second draft, third draft, until it's really organized. You tighten up the organization, you tighten up the prose. You really want to do that. And a 2,000 word post in a day, is you're not going to have a chance. It's going to have a lot of like edges and kind of parts that need to be cleaned up that you didn't clean up.
Got it. So I think that's a really good point for people that like, there's not, you know, don't kill it. I think it's better. Quality is better than quantity, in my opinion.
Oh, good.
So,
Don't get me started. Quality is the most important thing. And right. The integrity that you have around the quality is the number one thing to get you work and to keep you working for clients.
Yeah, got it. Well, Chuck, so let's get back to blogging here for a second and the action. Yeah. You know, because I know I talked about journalism stuff, and I think that's great. And
obviously, that's fun for me.
For you, it translates well because obviously blogging is still a form of writing and publishing. But I want to talk a little bit about today. I mean, obviously, you have a website, chuckleddy.com, and on the site, you have a blog, which I think your site looks fantastic. I love the simplicity of it. I think it looks great.
Thank you. I try to do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, tell us a little bit about your blog today and what keeps you writing on that. I mean, your purpose behind it and how often you post.
Yeah. There's a couple of motivations behind the blog. One might be you kind of do need a website and a blog as a marketing writer today in 2018 to have credibility with clients. They're always going to check out your reputation online. Mm-hmm. So if they Google your name and then they don't see a website or a blog and you claim to be a marketing writer, they may mark that against you. Likely they will. So it's a matter of protecting your online reputation. And it's an asset that you probably need as a marketing writer. So that's the first reason to cover that base. Mm-hmm. The second reason is that I'm writing all week for other clients. So I'm writing for software companies. I'm writing for higher educational institutions. I'm writing for seven clients during the week. So when it comes to Friday, I have control of my own blog. I'm not writing for a client's blog about software, for example. So it gives me a creative outlet to kind of express how I'm feeling about the week, whether the topic is about marketing, something related to marketing, or just something around being a creative person, about how I can kind of maintain my own creativity as a solopreneur and a professional. So the topics are kind of serendipitous. You know, there's a freedom to decide what I like to do, and I enjoy that aspect of it as well, as a creative outlet.
Got it. Love it. So now, obviously, you're a professional writer. You write for all kinds of clients all day long. So I think for you, it's sort of like, and please correct me if I'm wrong, you don't really transition in and out of writing. I mean, you're kind of always writing at some level.
Exactly.
So
that's it. 5 hours a day. Pretty much every day.
So it's not like you have a special routine per se, because that is your routine, is to write.
Yes, it is.
But, you know, do you have any advice for somebody who might be someone who has to transition into writing? Maybe they're not writing all day long like you, or do you have any particular routines that you like to follow when you want to get into quote unquote production mode?
Yeah, I think there needs to be what I call incubation around the idea. So incubation is sitting down, maybe with pen and paper, or maybe just sitting down with some kind of productivity tool that allows you to kind of express your thoughts and get them down somewhere. And thinking about what it is that you want to write and what the goal is. You want to think about the audience that you're reaching out to. You want to think about, you know, organizational issues around the content. So I think that incubation period is really worth doing. And I like to use pen and paper. I have a Moleskin notebook, and I'm constantly scribbling outlines and ideas in my notebook. And that really helps me. And then when I feel like I'm ready to go, I start the research phase, and I start digging into the research and making notes around the research. And when I get enough, I just start writing. That's when I go.
Got it. Now, do you do any type of special like search engine optimization, or are you sort of just writing for your ideal audience?
Yeah, I would say both. Because SEO is so important for my clients. They want me to hit on their keywords that are relevant for them. And I'm aware of what keywords they want to own in terms of organic search. So I'm trying to help them move up in organic search. And clients will get me on the phone with SEO experts that they have in-house, and I'll have conversations with their SEO people. And that really helps me kind of be aligned with their SEO strategy. Like, here's the 8 keywords that we want to hit. So I'm going to put that into the content. At the same time, I'm not manipulating the content. I'm just kind of trying to be natural in getting those keywords into the content. So it's not a check-the-box kind of approach. So it's kind of both focusing on SEO, but at the same time, the writing needs to be really valuable organically for my reader. That's probably the first focus. But then I'll go back and like, oh, do I have opportunities to put the keyword in here? and focus more on SEO. And SEO is getting more natural. Google is starting to reward writing that's valuable, that's elegant, that's straightforward, that defines terms. So the kind of stuff that I do anyway is increasingly rewarded by SEO and Google and places like that, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Makes sense. Quality versus quantity again. And in the SEO
context. Absolutely.
But I mean, that's sort of an interesting question too, you know, working with, you know, you obviously work with a host of a variety of clients and, you know, yeah. Setting aside your personal blog, I mean, do you, if someone were to come to you be like, hey, we want to do a blog or we want you to write for us, do you have a particular, how aggressive you might be with how many posts that you suggest that they publish or, you know, is there a minimum or a maximum or, you know, do you have any suggestions?
I'm not so much on the content strategy side with my clients. I'm more on the execution side. So I'm hoping that they work with a content strategist, whether, you know, outsourcing someone or they have someone in-house. Mm-hmm. And then they're kind of parceling out, giving me piece by piece their strategy. And then I'm hitting it. I'm executing on that strategy, you know, aware of their SEO goals and all that stuff. So I kind of leave that to the content strategist people. And I'm kind of happier on the execution side. It keeps my life simpler, I find.
Yeah, for
sure. Not to be in those meetings and all that.
You know? Yeah, for sure. Totally understand. Okay, so you know, there's a lot of inspiring things that we can learn from your blogging efforts. Thank you so much for sharing all those excellent ideas.
Of course, thank you.
You know, I mean, in terms of like, you know, if someone were to start building a blogging routine, who maybe isn't a professional writer or maybe is a recovering journalist or something like that, you know, do you have any sort of like rubber meets the road tips for getting started?
In terms,
go ahead.
I think you want to have a regular cadence, a kind of consistent cadence. So I aim for like Friday, each Friday, to get a post up on Friday. So to get my audience used to the idea, and I've been doing this for 3 years now, that on Friday, Chuck is going to come out with a blog and you're going to be able to get content from Chuck on a Friday. So teaching my reader, my audience that, okay, it's Friday, where's the content from Chuck? And getting that cadence kind of consistent and kind of me sitting down on Friday morning or Friday afternoon and like working with my notes and what do I want to do? What do I want to write about? Or maybe having it already done by Wednesday and then just posting it on Friday. So I think the cadence is really important, a regular, consistent cadence so that your audience gets used to kind of that timing is when I get the post from you. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. You know, pick your cadence. Are you a once a month person? If you really, for me, it's easy to sit down and write for a half hour or 45 minutes and I have a blog post. I'm pretty efficient because, you know, I write 5 hours a day. If you're new to writing, maybe once every 2 weeks, once a month, figure out kind of how creative you are with ideas and how the flow of your writing is. Are you a fast writer? Does it take you more time? All of that is relevant to your cadence and try to stick with that cadence that you decide upon. So their readers get used to it. You train your readers.
Got it. Yeah, it's sort of like you're setting yourself a self-imposed deadline, right?
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I'm sure hard to do. You know, so it is.
Yeah.
Hard to
do, so it becomes an obligation, but you need to do it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I mean, do you follow any particular productivity methods, or is it just kind of a workflow that you've created on your own? I'm just curious, and it's kind of off the wall.
I mean. Yeah. All of my work as a journalist has given me really clear workflows over, you know, doing it for 25 or 30 years. Mm-hmm. I have really clear and structured workflows. Mm-hmm. So I bring that into blogging because it's just another part of writing. I use the same workflows that I do. So kind of ideation, I come up with an idea, I incubate on the idea, I sit with it for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. I'll structure out some notes, maybe put an outline together. If it's something that's emotional, then I'll just sit in front of the computer and I'll just type it and I'll play with it as I'm typing in the post. Like I'll play with the emotion because I just want that emotion to be unleashed, just to come out directly and not to structure that emotion. Mm-hmm. But it depends on the topic as well. Sometimes you just want to let it fly. And those are the best posts where the reader can see you're emotionally engaged and they come with you, they follow you. So that's relevant too.
Got it. Excellent. Okay. So you mentioned the newsroom and working in journalism. I assume with your personal blog, that you probably don't work with an editor, that you are creating and also posting the content, right? Yourself.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I mean, yeah. is that a little different? Is that a little weird, or is that something that, you know, is that
what I found is that? Yeah. It's harder because I'm responsible for the integrity of the editorial process. So like I could have sometimes like I'll work on a Google document for a client. I'll be writing a post about, you know, GDPR or some privacy of data or something. And I'll open up the Google Doc to the client, and then we'll work collaboratively. There might be two or three people working collaboratively with me on a Google Doc. And then I'm kind of sharing the responsibility of editing and crafting that content. With the blog, it's all on me. So I have to, you really need integrity around the quality. You have to be committed to that. Sometimes I'll post something and I'll read it a second time or a third time, and I'll go back and make changes to it because, oh, you know, there was a typo or I missed something. So I'm constantly focusing on the quality. You have to do that. You have to stand behind that for your own integrity. It's important because the way to get clients and the way to get readers is to develop quality and to deliver quality to the readers over time. And that's integrity. It's the only word for it is integrity. So, yeah, it's up to you, but it's the best decision you can make is to have that integrity.
I mean, would you say integrity is sort of what is it? Is sort of one of the principles that sort of sits between bloggers and journalists? Like, if bloggers are journalists and vice versa,
I don't think it needs to. I think a blogger who's not a journalist can have the same level of integrity around the quality, where they're just saying, "My name is on this post. That's my name up there, and it has to represent the best work that I can do at this time." And I owe that obligation to myself and to my readers. And it doesn't matter if you're a blogger who just started or you're a journalist who's been 30 years in journalism. You can have that integrity if you decide. And I think it's worth making that decision. It's a personal one, but I don't think it's about being a journalist or any other content professional.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's a really inspiring thought. It's almost like a mic drop.
It's a challenge.
Mic drop.
A challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just a challenge. And I think it's a challenging that is worth noting, and people should pick it up. It shows, people notice.
Yeah. I mean, it's the ease of creating content and publishing it to the web is fantastic, but it's also sort of created a lot of issues over the years too. Obviously the whole fake news thing and everything like that, which I don't want to get into that, but obviously I think that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring that up, is that I think you make a really solid point. You know, I think,
and you know what you get if you have that integrity around the quality? It's a differentiator.
Mm-hmm.
You stand out, you become unique because you have that integrity. It's worth it, in my view.
Right, absolutely. So I see on your blog here that you have tons of great articles regarding writing and getting started, hope versus fear. Here's a post, hope versus fear, how to be for not against, which I think is another great topic for people, I think, listening to this podcast. So tell us how listeners can find your blog and give us a little
plug. You can go to my website, www.chuckletty, and my blog is right there. It's among the other five, you know, contact, and my rates are up there. There's a portfolio, and one of those tabs is my blog. So click on that and you're going to read content. Usually every Friday, there'll be fresh and new content. And it's kind of reflects what I'm thinking during the week, whether personally or as a marketer. So it's a mix of stuff.
Excellent. Well, I have just subscribed to your email list. So Chuck.
That's great. Thank you, Scott.
Yes, I'm excited. You definitely have a lot of fantastic content. And now after hearing your story, we know why. Thank you so much for taking time to chat with me. And I'm looking forward to getting you back on the show in the future as we continue to progress into our content marketing endeavors. And don't be a stranger. And thanks so much.
Well, Scott, thank you for allowing me to speak to your blog you want in the time you have, audience. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome, Chuck. And thanks for being on the show. That's a wrap for this episode of The Blog You Want in the Time You Have. Be sure to give a 5-star review on your favorite podcatcher service of your choice, such as Apple Podcasts or Google Play Podcasts. And if you have any questions or feedback or just want to simply get in touch, feel free to email me at hello at blogyouwant.com. And check out our website while you're at it as well. There's lots of great features, including a new blogging challenge. Learn about how you can take the 7-day blogging challenge to get your content creation goals in gear and on task.